Welcome back, everybody. IHOP Hotline ready for you, 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Try the decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. We're getting you ready for, college basketball season all of a sudden. Want to say thank you to Crestview Country Club for being a supporter of the program. Lots of holiday events in the books now for Crestview, and you sort of transition into the next season. Something Tommy and I need to get on the books are the TrackMan golf things. So we'll have that for you as well. So get out there, check that out. You can play indoors even in the cold weather. Tim Fitzgerald's golf game is how good, Tim? If you where are you at with your golf game right now, Fitz?
I haven't played in 30 years. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
I decided if I wanted to spend 5 hours cursing and drinking, I would just skip the golf part and go to a bar.
Yeah.
I'm more efficient than you guys.
Or if you thought you'd spend, 2.5 hours cursing and drinking, you might watch K-State basketball. But here we go, Fitz.
Publisher.com.
We had KU lose a game to West Virginia at home, and K-State open with a win against Cincinnati. This is wild and awesome too, by the way, because maybe they can get back to where we thought they'd be all along. That is a big response to a basically 20-point loss to Wichita State to come out and get a win like that. Cincinnati is good this year. That is wild and an awesome thing to see for this program.
I can't explain it. It was a good segment. Thanks for calling. It was one of the strangest things I've ever seen. They look like a real basketball team, and they haven't this season. They haven't looked like they want to be together, play together, like each other, understand the game of basketball. And then all of a sudden, after week, 10-day break, I don't know. They look like a brand new team. I guess their Christmas wishes came true, and they played to the identity that I thought they needed to play to. Coleman Hawkins and Doug McDaniel needed to step up and be the alphas. They were. They've worked on Coleman Hawkins to become more of a scorer. He's a generous teammate. He likes to pass. He likes to get everyone involved, but that's not what K-State needs right now from him. They need points, and he gave it. 20-10, rebounded well, scored well. They looked greatly improved. Let's see if they can sustain it. They go back-to-back on the road with TCU and Oklahoma State this weekend and on next Tuesday. And if they come out of that, at least winning one, okay, we got something going on here. Or was this just a one-time flash? We'll find out.
You mentioned Coleman Hawkins. Obviously, that's going to be the headline of him stepping up, having the double-double, 20-10 in the game. But I've focused more in this game on Doug McDaniel just because he's been really quiet also. And I think really, had it not been for the struggles that Hawkins had early in the season, there would have been more focus on where had Doug McDaniel been early on. He stepped up with 17 in this game against Cincinnati. You mentioned sort of the impetus on both of those guys to be more of the alpha, and we definitely saw that.
Yeah, he's gone from a guy that stood around a lot and didn't quite grasp it to a guy that's asserting himself. And if he gains anything from coming to K-State, it's going to be that you've got to assert yourself. You can still be a great passer, but it doesn't have to be every possession. And this is a talented team. And I think what the most encouraging thing about that at the end of the day was at the end of the game, it was two other guys. It was the Jones Knott brothers making plays that won the game. So there was a lot of encouragement there. That's a good Cincinnati team, and they took them out of what they wanted to do.
They won a game. They won a game in which they didn't shoot the three particularly well. They won a game. They had enough offense in a game where Brendan Hawson didn't shoot the three particularly well. And we had been waiting up into this point for them to be able to do that. They hadn't been. It's kind of been Hawson or bust, three pointer or bust. They're not going to go a lot of games where they don't shoot the three that well. And I think that's an encouraging thing.
Oh, yeah.
They won a game where that didn't go well. That will go well in a lot of games they play, but they finally found a way to win a game in other ways.
They sure did. They did. You're exactly right. The best half of basketball they'd played was at St. John's, and They looked really good, but it was Brendan Houset hitting three-pointers, and they did a great job of feeding him the ball and keeping him in the zone. And a halftime hit, and he came out of the zone, and the team shut down. This team that we saw the other night at Bramlage Coliseum adjusted to what went wrong, what the other team did, and responded. And guys, they haven't done that. They just have not even come close to doing that. And I think it was a great encouragement that this team finally decided, let's be a team, not just a bunch of guys running around, and started to buy in on some of it. And boy, it looked a lot better. The ball was moving. The defense was moving. They just seemed a lot more alert to what they needed to do, and they got it done.
You know, of course, in Wichita last weekend or 2 weekends ago, whenever it was, Wichita State beats Kansas State by 20 points. That to me, I think, could have been, after that game, the direction of the team could have went one of two ways. They, you know, they could have absolutely fallen apart, even more so than they had, or rallied together. And to me, it seemed like there's been this point of emphasis since the Wichita State game, and we saw it come to fruition against Cincinnati. The point of emphasis, and you mentioned it too, not just standing around and trying to shoot threes to win a game, but actually running some offense and actually trying to make sure that you're getting your top guys involved and creating shots and being able to get good looks and that sort of thing. And I was skeptical about whether or not they could actually do that sort of thing, but they did. And I know that you mentioned a few minutes ago, we'll see if it's sustainable and if they can keep that going. But man, that was a good start for Big 12 play.
It really was. They went from a team that didn't even look like they were running offense or just passing to try to get someone to shoot a three-pointer to a team that was clearly running something and being good about it, being disciplined with it. And this was such an amazing transformation. One of the coaches said, it just takes time. Look, I know it takes time, but those first 11 games were dreadful. That's a third of your season. That's too much time, but at least they got it done. Now they have such a momentous amount of work to do in Big 12 play that in a regular conference it would be tough, let alone the Big 12, where I mean you've got KU, Houston, Arizona all coming into your place. You already beat a Cincinnati team that was ranked, so you're going to have to start knocking people off. And boy, if you really want to start compensating for that horrible start, you got to win both of these road games. They're both really winnable with TCU and Oklahoma State. These are the opportunities you have to take advantage of if you want to respond and be in a good position towards the end of the season to have a shot at the NCAA tournament.
Well, and if you just told me that they'd be where they should have been at the beginning, then I'll say, yeah, they got a great chance to win enough of those games. Let's talk football, Fitz.
Okay.
Is there anything more impactful, you think, to the when I say future of the program, I mean next year, than what we saw from Dylan Edwards in the bowl game? Because, you know, if it's not DJ Giddens, the question has been, will Dylan Edwards, can he handle that sort of workload? He's the same, he's a smaller framed running back, but it's basically what Deuce Vaughn was.
Yeah.
He was incredible in that game. Is that enough to hand the keys to him next year and say, run with it?
Well, I think we'll see. The combination of Jackson and Edwards are still kind of sniffing around, looking for a little bit bigger back, maybe for short yardage, because Joe Jackson's bigger than Dylan Edwards, but still not even what DJ Giddens was, let alone a real power back. Right. So I think they might be looking for that, but only if they can find the specific guy. I'm going to be honest here. Dylan Edwards was spectacular, but that game was built for Dylan Edwards. That was a big, Big Ten built defense meant to stop power running games, not meant to stop lightning. And I mean that. That was K-State's game plan, is to try to get the ball in space to their speed players, be it Jace Brown, Avery Johnson, Dylan Edwards, and they did that. And once they emphasized that and got back to that, the offense exploded and Dylan Edwards just absolutely went off for, 195, 196?
Something, yeah.
On 18 carries. I mean, it was fabulous. He was breaking long runs, and the entire offense was explosive because the emphasis in this game was to get the ball to the edge, or at least get the ball to someone quickly, whether, you know, it was an immediate try to trap someone and get the middle of the line to open up. Once they got back to that in the third quarter, they were outstanding. But that was the most focused game plan I've seen them have this year. They had something obviously they wanted to do, and they did it. And it wasn't just because DJ Gittens good, we're going to turn around and keep giving him the ball, which is a fantastic way to play football if you got a back like that. This was actually scheming against the opposing defense and tearing them apart. And that's exactly what they did. They overcame size and physicality with just sheer speed. And that's something that K-State needs to get back to, because that has always been the identity of K-State football.
You mentioned the word focus game plan. I think discipline game plan also fits really well too, because as soon as the Wildcats in the third quarter fell behind 34-17, my thought was, man, it's going to be really tempting for them to just need to air the ball out nonstop to try to get back in this game. Yep. But that focus, that discipline to continue to work that game plan of getting the ball to Dylan Edwards and getting to the edge got them back in the game. And I know that Johnson had a couple of touchdown passes in the second half as well. But man, like you mentioned, it was the Dylan Edwards game. And that would have been really, like I mentioned, really tempting for Chris Klieman to say, we're down by 17. We got to start throwing the ball a lot more. And they didn't do that.
Yeah, you know, the key to that was when they really got in dire straits, I think it was Dylan Edwards in two plays was gone for a touchdown. And you're right. I was thinking, boy, they're going to throw the ball a lot. How does this impact? I mean, they were light in receivers in this game. How does this impact the game plan of, you know, trying to use their speed? And then, boom, Dylan Edwards breaks one, and suddenly the math changes again. You know, you're back at a two-score game, and K-State just kept finding a way to answer. It was pretty incredible what they did in that second half. Just keep coming back at them and score that many points in a half is impressive. And they got it done. I'm not fully sure still how they scored that many points and made that many big plays in a half. But boy, I tell you what, covering sports is interesting, because at Chase Field, when you go down, you're in the same tunnel as the players are coming off the field through. And Rutgers coming off that field was shell-shocked, stunned. They had that game won, guys. Yeah. They did.
Yes, they did.
They did. Had no idea how they lost it. It was hard to explain, and still is hard to explain how K-State got that done, but they did, and gave K-State a great launching point into next season, as they now feel pretty good about the weapons they have, and maybe they've already identified what kind of team they'll be. They're going to get you in space and run fast. And that worked well against Rutgers. Will it work well against sometimes equally fast Big 12 teams?
But that's not going to be the problem next year if there's a problem. The other side of the ball is going to be a problem next year if there's a problem. And Rutgers scored 41 points. Yeah. And we haven't even talked about the defense. I think the offense is going to be fine. Is the defense going to be fine next year?
I don't know.
If K-State can be the best version of itself without a really good defense. That sounds obvious, but I think the identity of K-State still has to be, this is one of the better defenses in the conference next year. And to me, they seem a long way from that right now.
Yeah, but they played really good defense down the stretch. And what was interesting is, other than VJ Payne, who's going to be back next year, they took every veteran defensive back off the field. They were playing freshmen and redshirt freshmen and sophomores out there on the back end of that defense, and they were really good at the end of the game. Maybe it was Rutgers just lost sight of what they wanted to do, but I think we all noticed the coverage got a lot tighter at the end of the game, and I thought that was really encouraging. They return a lot of young players, and they're still doing some work in the portal. I think they'll be fine. I think this class of 2023, I recently did one of my daily delivery videos on it. They've had 15 out of the 23 guys they signed see significant action out of that one class. They're redshirts, freshmen, or sophomores. And a lot of those guys were on the field during that stretch, and I think it's very promising.
It's everything, right? Can this team get to the CFP? We saw Arizona State take Texas to the brink. Real quick.
Yeah.
We took too long to play these games.
Yes.
Right. Can we talked about this a lot in the first hour. Can we just play the first round of the playoff right after conference championships? Like, what are we doing? Why are we overthinking this?
We've noticed two things here that people aren't talking about. We're all talking about, and I'm guilty of it too, Big 12, how's it compare? ACC, how's it compare? And, you know, Big 12's done a good job of improving its stock this bowl season, I think. But the real question is how big of an advantage is it to have home field advantage? Now, granted, the best teams had it in the first round, so it looked pretty obvious. But also, so far, all three teams that played in the first round have won. All the byes have lost so far. Now, granted,
they haven't played in a month.
Two of them are the teams that earn byes because they're conference champions. I get that. But I think Chris Kleiman's right. Let's just go to 16. Let's just play 8 first-round games on the home fields of conference champions and the highest seeds. I think conference championship should get you a home field advantage, whether you're the higher seed or not. And then let's move that next round up a little bit. Let's get going with this. You're right. They just waited too long. These teams haven't played in almost a month, and they're going up against teams that played like 10 days ago, 11 days ago. That's a huge advantage.
It's just let's not overthink it. You don't even have to go to just play the games faster, sooner. Yeah. You don't even have to take it to 16 if you don't want to. Just play them quick. Every other level does it, right? It's not every other level does it. Other level.
And every other level does it with more teams. And that's why I'm like, 16 doesn't add any more. It makes 4 teams play more games, or 8 teams play one more game. And then you get past the byes, you get past all that stuff. And yeah, you can start just shooting these games out of the cannon here. Let's get going. We want football. And I think having more than a week is a good idea, but having a month? Oh, come on, man. That's nutty. That's college football not being able to quite break from itself, not quite reinvent itself in the proper way. Okay, we're going to do the playoff, but we got to play the games right when the bowls are.
Yeah.
Really?
No, you really don't. Nobody cares.
You don't need to.
All right. Well, Fitz, next week will be a little earlier.
Yeah, I'm not
as happy. I know, but we will reward you appropriately. I don't know how yet. But you don't get to decide, because I'm afraid of where that could go. But we'll have something for you on the early morning Sports Daily shift next week.
If I can think of anything, I'll let you know. Beer sponsorship. If anything pops into my head, free beer, I'll think about it and I'll come up with some beer ideas that would work well for.
We can take care of beer anytime in Wichita. That's not a problem. Tommy's in charge of sponsorship, so he'll get right to work on that.
I'm taking notes right now.
Yeah. Drones do deliver beer.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, Fitz, we'll talk next week, bright and early.
Thank you, boys. Okay, I'll be there.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. GoPowerCat.com, making the shift with us. Go a little earlier, as all our guests are. And you'll hear them all, and they're, in the normal 9 to 11 windows as well. It's going to be fun. We're excited about that, and excited that all of our insiders are coming with us. Because they're such a big part of the program, and we love having all that insight there. K-State football, get really excited about what we see there, but then it's also like Rutgers put up 41. Like they've got to be able to play a little defense there as well. And I know it's a bowl game. That's a big ask for bowl games. But we'll see. We'll have more on that. All right, when we come back, we'll talk KU. The opening loss, we'll look ahead a little bit to Wichita State as they get ready to open the conference season tomorrow. Don't go away. It's Sports Daily, all broadcast are coming right now.